Thanks for that, and it's always great to have you with us here. Rick Tillo with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. And it's always a great pleasure to welcome to the show the Olympic and world champion, Brandi Chastain. She's here because she'll be participating in the Celebrity Pickleball Bash, which will be happening next weekend. There's a lot of things going on. There's a Celebrity Cigar Night on the 14th on Valentine's Day at the Amador Club. Down over here by the pyramid. And then on the 15th, there'll be morning yoga with Peter Walters. And then we'll go to the historic Warfield Theater for the Pickleball Bash itself. Brandi, welcome back to the show. First of all, I have to ask, how is your pickleball game?
Well, I'm going to go practice right now, so I'm about to find out. No, I started playing about 6 months ago, and I've found it to be very enjoyable. It's something that I can do with my friends and meet new friends, and so I've been really enjoying it. I'm getting better. I can't give away all my secrets.
I always find it hard because, you know, we grew up playing tennis, and the ball doesn't really bounce, and so that's the hardest for me to get used to.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing to get used to for me is just, you know, I want to hit it hard, and the court is not very big, so it's that kind of the finesse part of pickleball I'm trying to embrace.
Right. All right. Well, you know, we know you're a Bay Area kid like me, like most of us. You went to Mitty, and then I always wanted to ask you this too, because we've talked about Clara, and my dad went to Santa Clara. I grew up going to those camps at Toso Pavilion, and then I went to St. Mary's. Sorry about that. And but
that's okay.
You went to Cal, and originally, and you were like the Alex Morgan of you. I mean, you just took the whole college soccer by storm, and then you annihilated like both of your knees. So by the time you got healthy, literally years later, had Cal soured on you, or did you want to kind of go back to the South Bay? What happened with the transfer?
Oh, gosh. I think there was a lot of things going on at that time. I really am super grateful for the experience I had at Cal. You know, unfortunately, even though I did get injured in the spring after my freshman year, and we had a great team, amazing players, I think the experience of being at Cal was very eye-opening for me. It was completely unique and different from the experience I had. But I think what I found out about myself was that education was quite personal, and sitting in a lecture hall of 500 to 800 people and only getting close to TAs, and it wasn't for me. It wasn't going to help me be my best student, and yet I wouldn't have wanted my experience to be any different.
It's funny you say that, because when I was at St. Mary's, we'd be these circular tables with about 12 to 20 students, and it's liberal arts, just
right,
read books, type papers. But my girlfriend was going to Cal, and I'd sit in with her and Dwinell or Wheeler, and it's like going to an amphitheater or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think for a lot of students that works for them, and that, you know, makes them feel that they don't have to have a spotlight on them, and they can just do their work and in the way they like to do it. But for me, it was, you know, I like to ask a lot of questions and know the professor. And so for me, the soccer was good. Unfortunately, I had the injury, but it really set me up, I think, for a good rest of my college career at Santa Clara.
And then your career, because, first of all, do you actually have 192 caps? Like, are they in your attic in a big box?
No, but I wish they did give them out. They used to when I say, like, 100 years ago, they would give a cap for every time you played, and I think that would be just quite phenomenal to, maybe not every 100, maybe every, I mean, every one, but maybe, like, every 10 or 20. It would be nice to have a cap with the game and the date for a memory. But they used to do that. Now they just say it.
Well, the thing about your versatility, you know, I mentioned Alex. She never was a center half. You know, like for me, mm-hmm. what you were able to do it kind of reminds me, if you like, with Ruud Gullit, who was a forward, and then by the end of his career with Sampdoria, he was like a libero coming out of the back. And it was almost like, I remember the announcer saying, I think it was in the World Cup 2001, it's like, you know, we can throw Brandy up front. You know, she used to score goals. When you played in the back, I mean, it's cool. You're starting. But did you think, damn, I should be up there playing the number nine?
I mean, as a goal scorer, of course, I think down deep in my soul and in my heart, I wanted to score goals. But, you know, I had, after the first World Cup in 91, I was cut from the team and I didn't play in 95. And I think, you know, I am so grateful for Tony DiCicco for recognizing that the team needed to change. And because of that change, I got to come in and reinvent my career and the player I was. And so I learned a lot of valuable lessons that translate now for me into pickleball or into rest of life and into, you know, tough conversations, you know, the ability to be agile and flexible and maybe see something from the opposite angle has really been impactful for me.
And then when you look at women's sports, where they've come now, I mean, with not just the WNBA, but these exorbitant prices for expansion teams in the Women's Soccer League now, it's not just a little niche-y thing. I mean, like, America is actually paying attention. How cool is that to see it grow like this?
Oh, it's, of course, a dream come true. It's, I think, what we had, you know, we dared to semi-dream about this. And why I say semi is that, you know, it wasn't moving that fast. And when we had the first ever league for the WUSA, which our Bay Area Cyber Race team was the first ever champion in the U.S. In a domestic league, and I'm very proud of that. But the league itself was being supported and propped up by people who had daughters or nieces or granddaughters who played soccer, and they wanted a place for those girls to go and watch. And so the thesis of the business was never going to be successful. It didn't have media. It didn't have sponsorship. You know, it was like the players and the play was phenomenal. It just didn't have the business side yet. And it didn't have the Joe General public sports person support either. I think we've really had a wonderful twist of fate in that we've had success on the national team level for decades now. And at the same time, we've been growing our pool of young players who participate in younger national teams, and our collegiate teams have exponentially gotten better. And the players have, you know, are developing. We still need better development in youth soccer, to be quite frank. You know, it's hard when, you know, coaches at the collegiate level are just trying to win games. The coaches at the youth level are just trying to win games to keep their jobs, when development should be what we're really after. And so we kind of have to have a mind shift in that, but that's a different conversation. But, you know, when you say that the exorbitant fees, like, it's nothing compared to all the other sports on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
So this is minimal, comparatively speaking.
I wanted to ask you, too, about, and everyone asks you when you're with the 99ers and you know, the Rose Bowl penalty, but I admire anyone who steps up, because I remember being at the 94 World Cup when Dan Petrescu of Romania missed against Sweden in the quarterfinals. He put his hands on over his face, like, this is all anyone is ever going to remember me for in Romania now. And I was talking with Kelly O'Hara a couple months ago, and she missed her last kick probably of her USA career in the penalty. Megan missed, obviously, as well. So when you when you stepped up, and I know you missed in the Algarve against China, did you even allow yourself to think the worst? Like, if I miss this, this is all anyone's going to remember me by, but then if I make it, I'm going on Letterman.
Well, you know, I think the story for me kind of goes back to my resurgence on the team and my change of my position and the trust that Coach DeChicco had in me and the comfort level that he allowed me to have with, you know, this is going to be a process and you're going to learn and you're going to grow and we're going to do this different and, you know, it won't be comfortable at first. And then the process of training in that environment and getting used to being in a position that I'd never played before. And I mean, literally I made the team at the end of December. Our first camp was January. We went to Brazil like a couple months later. And then I played every minute in that new position until, you know, through the Olympics and forward. And so I think because of that, when we came to the middle of the field to go do the penalty kicks and Tony requested that I take it with my left foot, as I'd never taken a penalty with my left foot in the game before.
Wow.
You know, he said, hey, you're going to take it with your left foot. And I just said, okay, you know, I got it. And I think there's something really incredibly powerful, and this is why, for me, team sports and sports in general and coaching is so critical for young people, is, you know, you're not going to be perfect, and you will make a mistake, and you will miss a penalty like I did earlier in the year, but that doesn't mean that you can't do it in your future, and you won't do it in your future, and so I think what he said to me is that I trust you. Like, why would he put me in a position that he himself then would not be successful if I didn't make it? And so I feel like kind of that role that he took on and that responsibility that he would give to the players really empowered us to do great things. And so, you know, for me, it was never going to miss. It was always going to make. And also the fact that I watched my four teammates make theirs and Brianna made an awesome save. And I felt so confident. Like, that was not the message in my head. The message in my head was, don't look at the goalkeeper, because she had kind of got me out of my, I guess, my rhythm or my routine in the game prior. And I wasn't going to give her that chance. So she allowed me to learn something and to do better the second time.
That's a tremendous answer. I love that. Everybody needs to check out the Celebrity Pickleball Bash. Go to celebritypickleballbash.com, bizx.com for tickets. Brandy will be teamed with Jenna Bandy. They'll be taking on Chris Mullen and Christian Alshon. Brandy, I wish I had more time. I always love talking to you, and we'll see you over there at the Warfield.
Yeah, I look forward to dinking some balls at Chris's feet. It's going to be super fun. This is going to be fun and funny. So this is like sports and entertainment. We call it pickletainment. It's going to be magnificent. I look forward to meeting everybody and having a great time.